This is RSB in the Update, episode 226, recorded Thursday, October 15th, 2009. Evelyn the Medium. Hello, everybody. Me and Brad here this week, saying hello to you guys from our various locations in Edmonton and the little English town known as Gloucester.
It's a city, damn it! It has a cathedral.
Okay. Do you ever go to the cathedral?
I have been in the past, not regularly.
What for?
Just to visit. It's a tourist attraction. Part of the Harry Potter films.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. You know the scenes when they're walking along the corridors in Hogwarts, and it's like a really old building.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Filmed in Gloucester Cathedral.
Okay. So you could have been an extra then? You could have donned like a robe and a broom?
No, I wouldn't want to be an extra, Shane. I'm no actor. And during the time of the filming of the majority of films, I think I was actually in Berlin.
That's too bad. I think you would have made a good wizard.
I think you would make a good minister. No, I'm not going to say.
You laugh like a girl.
So do you. At least that's one thing we have in common, if nothing else. Anyway, on to this week's RuneScape update.
Yeah.
Before I say something that will make us start recording again.
Yeah, this is take
within
three,
the
by
light.
The
you do realize if you Google within the light, which I did out of interest, it comes up with some religious organization.
Yeah, they said
Spiritual Institute and Wellness Ministry.
I wonder why they didn't call it Let There Be Light.
Hang on a second. This first result for the website, Within the Light, it says, Within the Light is a spiritual service that connects loved ones here on Earth with those who have transcended. This is a medium service. Jagex endorses phony mediums. Wow.
Yeah, you know, anyway. Sometimes I wonder about those, if they're really, real. I should test one out one day.
So it's cold reading.
If anybody out there is a medium, get in contact with me, please.
It's cold reading. You have a big group of people and you go, I'm getting the name John. Does the name John mean anybody to anybody? And considering John is a common name, right, and you have a lot of people there, John's going to mean something to someone. Okay, it could be somebody who's died, it could be somebody who's still living, it could be somebody who don't, it could be anything. And then somebody reacts, and somebody goes, yes, I lost my father, John. And they might even, it's cold reading, it's really easy to do. I should do it. I should have my own medium show.
Yeah, you should.
Anyway, on to the actual Within the Light.
Within the Light.
A new disturbance has been noted in the Temple of Light by Thorgal the Dwarf.
Ah, good old Thorgal, hey?
Thorgal, Shane.
Oh, it sounded like you said Thorgal.
Thorgal.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah, I said
requirements.
Thorgal. Yeah, requirements.
Minimum requirements. Level 69 agility. Level 70 fletching. Level 75 range. Level 75 woodcutting. And Morning's End Part 2.
Morning's End Part 2 was a fun quest.
It was a fun quest. Unlike this one.
I like this one.
No, it wasn't that bad. It was just, considering it, you know, it's a continuation of the plague storyline. It was all the other quests in the plague series, whatever that, I forgot what they call it, the owl
plague quest series.
Yeah, the plague quest. They all have really good storylines, you know, like Underground Pass and Morning's End 1 and 2. They all have really good stories.
Regicide.
Regicide had as well. But this one, the story is just really non-existent. I mean, the majority of the hardest thing in the quest is probably actually the first bit he asks you to do, where you have to go and get him a mourner suit and then go under the mourner headquarters.
That
and
wasn't
then
that
all
hard.
That stuff. Yeah, but it's time-consuming because you've got to run around to places. And that's what I'm saying the longest bit of the quest is. And then of the bit that actually pertains to the storyline is really like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. But you said you had to redo your maze, right?
What maze?
The light maze?
No, I was incorrect on that, actually, because I was being a bit stupid and I didn't know my way around the temple properly. I didn't have to redo it. I just didn't know.
I had to go back through the death altar because my light was set up to allow access from the death altar into the temple, not the other way around.
Yeah, I did that once, accidentally, and I had to teleport back out to Letia, and then the guy wasn't there, and then I had to run all the way back, which was annoying. I think that's a bit of a bug they didn't anticipate.
This is part 8 in the series.
Well, yeah, basically all you find out in continuation of the elf storyline is that there's a messenger who was trapped in a rock slide, and that there's a city under Prifdinas, and the city's been reduced to a crystal to protect it. Crystal seed to protect it. That's all you learn in the entire quest about the storyline.
Yeah.
And that is found out in the very last bit of it. It's not a good storyline. Certainly not as good as... It's not bad, but it's not as good as the rest of the series.
I hope it'll involve farming, because it says crystal seed, and you have to grow the city.
Oh, God. Yeah, imagine that. Plant the seed. Plant the crystal seed in an allotment. Water. Super compost. Oh, no, the city of Prifdinas died.
You need level 90 farming as a requirement.
Yeah, whatever. That'll never happen. Anyway.
Another thing I wanted to say about this quest was, first off, you head back to the Temple of Light, then that little... What's that thing called? The thing that's going crazy outside the Death Altar? I forget what it's called.
Oh, it's the... I don't know. I forget as well, but you have to...
touch it, go back to the crystal, and then bring it back and get that huge...
First, you have to stand on the Death Altar.
No, and then that's after.
And then you have to stand on the Death Altar, run to the crystal, and then run back to the thing and touch it to be teleported.
And then get teleported into the area with the light puzzle.
Which was extremely easy.
Yeah. And then also there was the maze.
Yeah, the maze. You had to basically jump on things and avoid the...
spikes.
I actually, for some reason, I think it might have been when I was killing mourners to get the outfit for the first part of the quest, because, you know, they reduce you to 20 hit points.
Mm-hmm.
I think I must never have healed up after that, because I suddenly got into the very last bit of the puzzle where you have to jump from platform to platform, and I realized I only had 30 hit points, and I got hit once for 10 out of 20, and I was like, I should really go back for food, because I'm bound to get hit at least once more, maybe even twice, and then I'm dead. But I was like, no, I really can't be bothered to go back for food, so I did it with 20 hit points, and I didn't get hit once. Skills, ladies and gentlemen.
Brad the hero.
Looks like we made it.
Yeah, and then after that, you shoot the little thingy to open up the passageway to where we find the guy.
Yeah, then you've got to go all the way back around. That annoyed you. I actually got all the way back there and all the way back around on 20 hit points. I got there thinking, oh, yeah, I've done it with only 20 hit points. Oh, how did I do that? And it's like, oh, crap, and I've got to go all the way back.
Oh.
But the reward was very good. Considering it probably, you could probably do it in under an hour.
Yeah, that's about right.
The reward is 35,000 agility experience, 20,000 fletching, 20,000 woodcutting, and 20,000 ranged, and 2 quest points, which is very generous.
Yeah. Just this whole thing of it being reverted to a crystal seed, that sounds familiar from somewhere before.
You use crystal seeds?
No, like reverting to crystal to preserve something.
What, do you mean real life or RuneScape?
Real life.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking
about. Yeah, I don't know. But if anybody's heard anything like that before, maybe you can enlighten us on that.
Enlighten us. Yeah. That was good, Shane. That was good.
Yeah.
If it was an intentional gag or if it was just...
No, of course not. Not intentional.
Well, okay, it wasn't funny then.
No. But please, do enlighten us.
Yeah, so what would you rate it, Shane?
4.
I'll give it a 3 because of the lack of storyline. I'll give it a 3 purely for the fact it was quick and the reward was good.
Okay.
So that's 3.5.
I was going to say no lesson on calculating averages this week.
Yeah, Shane, you're the one who does that. Tweaks, feeks and twixes.
Yeah, actually there's just something else I wanted to say about this quest. Did you talk to the Elven Scribe?
What? No. I did see something. He recounts your previous story.
Yeah,
previous
he basically said, takes notes of everything that's happened up to so far, and it's a nice rundown considering that it was over 5 years ago that I first did the first quest. So
yeah,
I'd highly recommend going to check that out. And remember, initially you were working for King Vargas, and then you...
It turned out he was evil.
Yeah, and then now you're working for the good guys, the elves, so... And it says they used to control vast areas to the east. You know, this sounds sort of like some Star Trek race called the Iconians.
No.
Who had rather interesting technology. So the elves will too.
I'm not listening to a word you're saying.
Oh, come on. You're the
Back
only
to relevant
one,
stuff.
You're the only
Back
one to... who hasn't embraced Star Trek.
back to relevance. That's because I'm the only one who isn't desperately trying to suck up to you. Back to actual to relevant things.
Fixes and weeks. Tweaks and fixes.
I really like Underground Pass. I think that was the best quest in RuneScape.
I like Regicide in this series.
I mean, because if you think about it, Underground Pass was a really long, really hard quest, and the reward was kind of crap. I think it was like, I'm honestly going to look it up, but I'm
You didn't know what you were getting into at the time, yeah. You know?
Yeah, and look, here's the reward, right? 5 quest points, which is a load, 3,000 agility, and 3,000 attack experience. You would get that for like a 5-minute quest now. Oh, and the IBAN staff.
Yeah.
But I think that was just such an amazing quest.
Yeah. If we're talking in this series, I have to say that and Regicide. But if we're talking quests overall, you know what my favorite quest is.
Enlightened Journey.
Yeah. Combining farming and Star Trek.
My God. Match made in heaven for you, isn't it?
Now you can auto-join clan chat on login if you logged out. Signed into a chat channel.
Yeah, that is very helpful.
Yeah, first time I was wondering, what am I doing in chat right away, you know?
Yeah, it's a good feature. And obviously, if you want to avoid it, you just have to leave clan chat before you log out.
That's right. Wilderness Agility course added to the Bounty and Bounty Plus One in worlds, as in that you can use them. Use it. Not that affects any of us. Input multipliers. So for stackable items, you can say K and M now. Which is good, but there's one drawback to this. It doesn't support decimals, so you can't say 100.5K or 10.5 mil, you know?
They should have done that.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't. Like, it's using something called a keyboard handler, where the Java applet scans incoming characters, and if it's something that's not specified in the range, it just does nothing with it. So it does nothing except for the 0 to 9 range.
Well, still, it's handy, but it could have been developed.
Yeah, so I don't know why this didn't come out then, but it's nice. You just have to kind of be careful, you know, make sure you don't say that you want 625 mil instead of 625K, though I don't have that much money. Do you, Brad?
No.
How much do you have?
In my bank, 14 million.
Oh, that's good.
That's not impressive.
No. I don't know. I wonder what the average is now, you know?
Interesting to know.
For members, and then members above a certain combat level and such.
Or for people who, you know, should have sold their Santa hats earlier and would have had
okay.
more if they did.
But remember, that would have went into farming, so I'd be still at where I am now.
No, you'd have more. You'd have the positive difference you would have made if you'd sold them at the higher price. When I told you to, all those years ago. Shane was like, no, Santa hats hit 30 million. And I said to Shane, sell your Santa hats. And he was like, no, I'm going to hold on. And then they dropped, and I laughed.
They're at 27.8 right now.
Yeah, but you've sold yours, apart from the one. Greed corrupts, Shane. Greed corrupts.
Okay, that's another problem. But anyways,
here's another problem.
There's more in the release notes, which you can find.
New potions and PvP feedback.
I was talking about the release notes. There's not much in here.
I thought we were moving on to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there isn't much release notes, hence it's pointless mentioning them.
Yeah, but just know people that they're there. You just shot yourself, okay. Potions.
They're asking for feedback.
Yeah, which is good, you know?
Yes.
We had a lengthy debate about this before we started the show.
Lengthy, and then I told Shane to save it, and I would verbally destroy him on microphone for your pleasure.
So basically, as of right now, as I mentioned last week in my little edit add-on to the show, you can't use the PvP potions in anything PvP related, including the PvP worlds, Tazar fight pits, the duel arena, Castle Wars. I think there might be another one or two, but you get the general idea. So
yeah.
And right now they got this topic, asking for feedback. Did you take a look at it, and what's the general consensus of the people to you, would you say?
A lot of people are suggesting, which I agree with, that it should be fine in safe mini-games.
Well, yeah, obviously, there's no problem with that.
Yeah. And a few people are probably, there really is a mix, but there are, I personally agree with, they should be tradable and usable in PvP or non-tradable and not usable in PvP. That's the way I see it. But I mean, non-tradable and not usable in PvP is sort of pointless.
Yeah.
Limited capacity.
Like, it's like, why is this even here? You know, personally, I think they should be left untradeable and usable in PvP, because it's just like anything else. If you want to better yourself, you need to get off your ass and not be lazy and train Herblore.
No, I think it would be detrimental to PvP if Jagex did that, because people would feel that to be able to compete in PvP, they would have to get 96 Herblore.
Well, no, you can just compete in your lower level areas, you know, with people around your lower level.
Yeah, but no, let's say, right, maybe, high-level people will feel to compete in high-level PvP, they need to get 96 Herblore, because they're putting themselves at a disadvantage if they don't.
Well, no, but you can still compete against people who aren't doing that, by just because it's easy to see.
Yeah, but it's obvious that in a game like RuneScape, there's going to be a certain sort of high level of there's going to be best weapon, best armor, best potion.
And that's what we got with this, best potion.
Yeah, exactly. But to be able to access the best potion, I don't think it's necessary that you have 96 Herblore as a requirement.
I don't know. I hope this is the way the game goes, where there's multiple requirements to use something good, you know? Like, say, as this example, like, combining requirements across skills. I hope that more things are added like this.
Yeah, I agree, but I think that these shouldn't be things that would potentially have a big impact on PvP. Maintaining PvP balance is a very important thing in a game.
Well, you have to argue that magic did need to be added up later on, you know, because right now magic is the one that does the least damage.
Yeah, but I mean, outside of the combat triangle, you know, I think even though I think the potions are not going to be... I just think, because Herblore is a fairly expensive skill to train, the majority of PvPers, even if they want the advantage, either won't have the money or won't want to train.
But it would become less expensive over time.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be an initial demand, which will cause prices to rise,
yes,
right? But then the people who are supplying the herbs, mainly from Slayer and farming, are going to offset
yes.
it and eventually bring the price back
yeah,
down
yeah,
to
sure.
something more
exactly.
affordable.
But even before this initial demand, before the update, Herblore was still an expensive skill to train.
Yeah, but now so, it's got a reason in RuneScape.
But in the grand scheme of things, which is going to make the herbs more valuable, because a lot of people are going to know that a lot of other people are going to want to train Herblore.
Exactly.
Which is going to make it even more expensive than it maybe would have been previously, and it was already expensive previously.
It'll come down eventually.
Eventually. But it'll still be roughly higher than it always was.
I don't know. I think that it's just a problem of people not wanting to work.
I think actually probably what they're doing with, you know, unusable in risk PvP is probably the best thing.
No. No. Yeah. No.
Yep.
No!
Yep.
No.
See, as all our debates, they end up in who can say yes or no more, yep?
Yeah. I don't know.
Jane agreed. Jane agreed with me.
No. What I was going to say was that if they're going to maintain this stupid little thing where you can't use them in PvP and basically make the potions useless except for in Slayer and bosses, they might as well make them tradable, you know? Because I'm not getting my benefits from this if it's only available if you can't use it in PvP. I'd rather be able to make money off it that way than using it in PvP. So
you're not
I know, I'm just saying hypothetically if I was, I would rather that they if they're not going to change this rather than leaving it how it is, I would rather they make them tradable, even if that means they're more common.
Oh, what, just so you can make a quick buck off it?
Sure.
I'm surprised that wasn't what you initially supported, seeing as how you're very money-motivated.
No. I think it should have been left how it was, and if Jagex would take a more kind of a I'm not sure what kind of approach to describe it, but kind
seeing
of
seeing the bigger
more,
picture.
No. I was going to say if they would behave kind of like more like Apple like this and not listen to the users in a case like this, just act as if they know what's right, then this would have been a better solution in the long term.
Yeah, but
same as back when they did the wilderness thing, if they would have not listened to the user,
words.
You know?
Interesting choice of words. Act like they know what's right. That infers you don't believe they truly do.
Well, no, most of the times they would.
So it doesn't really matter then, in your opinion, whether they know what is right, only that they act like they know what is right.
Well, yeah, I agree that they need to kind of show people that they're in charge of this game, and the game isn't being dictated by a form of players.
I would respect a company more if they stand up and say, hey, we aren't entirely sure what's right here, than a company which tries to pretend it knows when it doesn't.
I think the other way, actually.
Well, that's
because I see admitting
that's
problems as a sign of weakness.
You're a child of the right, and you love spin and misinformation.
That's not misinformation.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Trying to pretend you know when you don't is misinformation.
No, they know perfectly inside, but they don't have to. Like, there might be a few doubts, but as long as it looks fine to the outside, no one's going to know.
Gagex are not all-knowing, even about their own game. They can't be entirely sure how things are going to affect
balance. Sure they can. They probably have simulators that run on everything to show what would happen.
No, Shane, you can't have a simulator that accurately predicts a community as big and as varied as Bloons.
No, I meant for, like, the...
Shane.
I meant given for, like, the percentages and how the game would react.
Yeah, obviously, nobody's going to deny that, but the effect on the community is a big thing, and they cannot predict that. Especially not the community like RuneScape.
I don't know. It gives me a feeling of uncertainty when people admit that something's wrong.
So you want Stephen Harper to be the CEO of Jagex?
Not necessarily him. Steve Jobs, maybe.
Steve Jobs.
What? What?
Just imagine. Just see a lot of posts on the official RuneScape forum saying this update was terrible, and then a Steve Jobs post shouting at them.
That's how, like... I don't know, if you compare things with Apple, like, there's inadequacies in the...
There's inadequacies in Apple, yeah, there were inadequacies in Steve Jobs' liver.
Oh!
Like, I was going to say there's inadequacies in, like, Apple products, like the iPhone and iPod Touch. Why is there no camera in the iPod Touch? But people just, or Apple, I mean, just goes on to steady the course and just push ahead with this.
And they put a camera in the Nano.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that this pushing ahead of not caving to people's demands of why is there no camera right now in that touch should be something that Jagex should be doing for this kind of update.
You really need to strike the right balance of giving the customers what they want and not caving to their demand. You
just make it all shiny on the outside and then there you go.
You can't always refuse what the consumer wants because then you're really... dooming yourself, but you can't do everything.
Oh, I agree with that.
You really need to strike a balance.
But I think things like these related to internal policy and stuff like this, because once, obviously, these updates have been through...
This isn't necessarily about internal policy.
Well, yeah, it is, because these updates go through Q&A and QA and stuff like that, you know? So there has to be some sort of analysis done on how they'll affect the game. And in this, we assume that Jagex has made the decision
that this is a worthy add-on to the game.
As a result, they should just push ahead with it and have left it how it was.
No, you are giving Jagex too much credit, because I think if we look at plenty of the updates they've put out in the past, the wilderness removal is but one example. They were made not... Those were decisions that were made not necessarily upon view of how it would affect the game, but on how it would affect Jagex's finances. I refuse to believe that they look at how it will affect the game that closely for every update. There are obviously some updates that have ulterior motives.
I don't know. They have to. Regardless
of what they'll do to the game.
That's something that was covered in software engineering course. You have to kind of estimate as to how doing something a certain way or... tailoring a certain user interface element is going to affect the way that people flow through your program or something like this. Same goes for a game. So that's why I say that there's probably a good deal of analysis that goes on.
Yeah, but
I think
you're over-egging it.
I don't think so.
Anyway, let's move on. We've debated this point. And you've proven yourself to be wrong enough.
No, I'm right.
No, you're not, Shane. Yes, you are.
I feel more confident in a company that stands behind their product rather than admitting a wrong.
Sorry. So, just once more, I just really want you to clarify something. You would rather a company pretend everything is all right when it's not than comes out and says, hey, we made a mistake.
Yeah, because then...
Thank you. No, that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Let's
because
on.
if you say there's a wrong, that wanes consumer confidence,
but
which hurts profits in the end.
Even if there is a wrong, if there's a big wrong, should the company not admit to it?
No. No, only if it's on the order of causing harm to... On the order of causing, like, death, you know?
I want companies to be open with me, and if they've made mistakes, I would much rather they come out and say, we made a mistake, and try and hide it. Let's move on. Just remember his arguments on that last statement, people. He wants companies to pretend they've done things right when they haven't.
Well, yeah, because it's good for their profits.
Oh, Shane.
And it instills consumer confidence.
Not really. If, you know, if there's an expose in a newspaper and it turns out that, you know, X company's been telling a load of lies, then consumer confidence plummets.
No, but they can say that obviously you guys haven't noticed so far, so we're doing perfectly fine.
Shane would like to apply this doctrine to RSB&B, but I keep him on the straight and narrow.
We've never had any issues like this.
Yeah, sure we haven't. Moving on.
Of course not.
Is there anything else?
No, it's just
we haven't had a new poll in ages.
Yeah, that's
11th of September.
Yeah, that's over a month.
That's a month.
Seems like they're getting lazy with the polls and galleries and postbags.
We had a new gallery last week, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I know.
Living La Vida Rooms.
Like, I'm sure they got lots of player-submitted polls they could use.
They've obviously been focusing on other things.
Yeah. Okay. First question.
La first question.
That's not how you say it in French.
I know it's not. Dear Shane and Brad, what do you have as your objective in RuneScape at the moment? And do you think you'll achieve that goal soon? My objective, actually, in the little objectives tab is 70 thieving, which I'm currently 68. I was 66 when I set that goal, and I got 2 levels quickly at Pyramid Plunder, then got bored. That was like 2 weeks ago, so I've not touched it for 2 weeks.
You should go back to Pyramid Plunder. You could have it done in a few hours.
Yeah, I know I could. I'll probably do it after I get all the bones for 70 prayer.
Oh, good. Okay. La première question. That's what you meant to say.
No, I didn't. I was mocking the French
language. La première question.
La first question with some garlic on it.
What did you say?
I said the first question with some garlic on it in a gay French accent. Because the French
God.
Love garlic.
I love garlic
anyway,
too.
So do I, except it makes me smell bad.
That's why you sleep better.
Nope. What do you have as your objective in RuneScape, Shane?
99 agility. 38% there.
38%. The percentage sort of thing is sort of really skewed on what level you start.
Yeah, and it doesn't say what level you started it at. I forget now, so.
Yeah. I would like to start a new account and then have, you know, a goal for 99 from level 1. That would take ages to go up percentage-wise, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but the first 60 or so
90,
would be rather quick.
Yeah, but because it's done XP-wise, you wouldn't reach 50% until you got to level 92. Would you? Because XP-wise,
yeah,
92%.
Right.
Because level 92 is halfway. Anyway. Also, how much do you think the Dragon Pickaxe will drop in price? I just sold mine at 13.7 million, making a 4 million profit. I don't know what's been going on with the Dragon Pickaxe in the GE. I used to, a couple of weeks ago, I was monitoring it when it was shooting up like a, you know, rising exponentially.
12.5 mil right now. Well, my guess, it's still in the positive for overall change, but my guess is that now that we've seen the delta has been in a negative turn for since the 7th of October, so, and the delta has become slightly, it's still negative, but it's become closer to zero.
Wow. I remember when it was 2 million on the GE. Imagine if you bought it at 2 million and sold it at over 19.
Yeah. My guess is that we're going to see the delta become positive again, rise for a bit, then come down, but not as sharply as it did, and then kind of level off, probably at, I don't know, maybe 12 mil or so, 12 to 14, I'd say.
if I could go back in RuneScape time, I would invest in 5 dragon pickaxes when they were 2 million each and sell when they hit 19.
That's a good idea. Why don't you patent time travel?
Although, actually, no, if I had the ability of time travel, I wouldn't be messing about with it. You know, I would be messing about with RuneScape.
What would you do instead?
I would be going back in time to see my future self. No, you can't do that, can you? I'd go back in time to see you when you were like 5, and I'd make you a liberal. I'd indoctrinate you with left-wing beliefs.
I hate to break it to you, but I was until probably around grade 9 or 10.
Wow. Okay, well, I
saw the bigger picture.
The bigger picture. Oh, there we go.
Which is something that people need to realize is the best way to see the world as.
Yeah, sure it is, Shane.
Thank you, Owen.
Deluded Fox News picture.
That was from Owen. Call me Owen. Call me Owen.
Okay, hello, Owen.
yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't really see the point to the dragon pickaxe. I still think it's all hype.
Like the dragon axe, no point.
Well, no, it would help if you were going for something like 99 mining, you know? Just like the dragon hatchet would help doing that, but...
Anyway, on to the next question.
Hang on, I just want to see what the special attack is. It's called Thunder, Shock.
Isn't it?
No, it's called Shock. Drains 5% from opponent's attack range and magic. Takes longer to perform than normal attack. Uses 100% special bar.
Wow.
So, okay. And then you could pop that up with the extreme potion. Well, that'd be fun. Anyways. Moving on. Dear Shane and Brad. Shane, I'm 13 and would like to be a video game designer. I know it's a competitive business, and I would like to have an edge on the competition. Is there anything I can do now to help me? Also, what courses should I take? Well, it's sort of... There's no real kind of course for video game design, per se. What your best bet would be to do, once you get finished high school, would be to enroll in a good computer science program. And then after that, you'd probably want to get a master's in computer science as well, because I know most game developers, like the big ones, heaven forbid, EA, which is a load of crap, likes people if they have their master's. And while you're doing that, you should kind of focus on... algorithms, probably, game design, of course, and make sure you're a decent programmer, because those are the three biggest components to video game design, because if you're not able to actually develop the game, there's no point. Algorithms, because there's so many different ways to do things, and with a game, a tenth of a second is really, really important. Oh, and as for what courses now you should take... Either look into a community college for some entry-level computer science programs, or at the high school level, if you have AP computer science, take that. Just whatever you do, don't start off with learning Visual Basic. Sound like you went to sleep.
Yeah, I did, because this stuff doesn't interest me the slightest.
Brad, I personally think the top pack is epic. However, I think they should make it so it sits on your head better.
Yeah. Agree. I saw something about this a while back, and it does not look... A top hat should be over the sort of the top bit of your head, just above your ears, whereas this one isn't. So yeah, that is something they should fix.
At least it doesn't make you bald anymore.
No, at least it doesn't make you bald.
You know, top hats are interesting because they're so, like, tall in the vertical direction, you know?
Yes,
it'd be interesting to use as kind of like target practice, you know, to see if you could shoot the top hat off someone's head without shooting them.
Okay, I'm not going to volunteer for that experiment.
Why not?
Because I don't want to get shot in the head.
We'd use a blunted bow and arrow.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
What if I put a suction cup on the bow and arrow instead of an arrowhead?
Yeah.
What if it was a toy bow and arrow?
No.
Why not?
Because Shane and I are just like pissing on your bonfire.
Oh. That's too bad. Did you ever have a toy bow and arrow when you were a kid?
No, I never did.
Yeah, neither did I. That's too bad.
Oh, we both had depraved childhoods. Thank you for those two questions, Top Hat Skill. Shane and Brad, if you were a girl, what would you name yourself? If I was a girl, what would I name myself? Mildred.
Marjorie?
Mildred.
Okay, why?
Because it's disgusting. If anybody called Mildred is listening to this, I'm sorry.
What about Marie?
No, I hate that name. It's stupid.
Come on, be serious.
Seriously, if I had to go right as a, I always like the name Evelyn. Even though it's very old-fashioned. If I ever have a daughter, I'd probably want to call her Evelyn.
This is RSVMB Update 227 with Shane and Evelyn.
No, you've got to think of a female name for yourself.
Let's see. Michelle?
Michelle?
Yeah.
Evelyn and Michelle.
What do you think?
I think it's gay.
Yeah, why are we even talking about this?
Yeah, let's move on. Shane, what is the meanest thing Brad has said to you? And did it make you cry? What's the meanest thing I ever said to you, Shane?
That you call me an idiot and I'm deluded for my view of the bigger picture.
I say that all the time.
Yeah, but the first time was rather harsh.
And then you got used to it.
Yep.
Then you got used to it. Did it make you cry?
No. No.
Yeah, he cried himself to sleep that night.
No. It just made me realize that Brad needs a little bit more massaging into the right place so that he'll see things the way I do.
Shut up, Shane. Keep up the great work. It's Leaf for Life.
Well, you did at one point.
Thank you for those what?
See things the way I did.
Yeah, Shane. Then I grew up.
You became a child again.
You are still waiting to grow up.
What's that thing? If you're not conservative by 40, you're an idiot. And if you're not
If you're not a liberal by 20, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative by 40, you have no brain. So you are over 20 and not a liberal. So you clearly have no heart. Whereas I can still qualify for both of those things by turning back conservative. I'm not massively left-wing. I'm centrist. I've always said I'm centrist. I'm just left of Shane. Shane's on the right wing, so being left of Shane is basically being in the center. Anyway.
I had a conversation with someone last night who shall not be named about Fox News and Rush Limbaugh.
Okay, so it's going to be, if you talk to him, it's going to be Chief Snake, King Killer, or Paul.
No.
One of those three.
No,
people.
It wasn't. It wasn't somebody who's on the staff. It's somebody who identifies themselves as a Republican.
Kelsey.
No, not on the staff. Not female.
Devo.
No, he's on staff. I'll tell you later, but it turned out to a nice conversation that we both agreed that in the end that the Republican Party needs to do more because Rush Limbaugh and Fox News are acting like spokespeople for the party. But
Shane
in reality,
admitted before the recording that he regrets supporting President Obama in last year's presidential election and he should have supported McCain.
Yeah, but we just determined that Rush Limbaugh is an entertainer and really shouldn't be taken that seriously. So listen to that, all you guys out there who hate Rush Limbaugh. He's an entertainer, not a source for news.
He thinks of himself as a source for news.
Anyways, thank you, Italy for Life, and we will do our best to keep up the good work. Yours truly, Evelyn and Michelle.
Oh my God. Would you prefer the skill cape icons as they are now or with the updated skill icons? Do you think Jagex will update them? Question is from Jay. What do you think?
Well, they do look sort of monochromatic right now, you know? I mean, not monochromatic. They look kind of... monochromatic would imply they're the same color. But what I mean is basically there's like no texture to them now, you know, as if the... Whereas the icons have texture. Prime example I can think of is the woodcutting tree or Herblore Herb. So, we could go with an update maybe, but I just hope that they wouldn't kind of mess it up, you know?
Yeah, they look alright as they are now, so you wouldn't want any sort of drastic change.
Yeah. What about the fishing one? Would you like your fish to be white instead of grey?
I don't know. I quite like it grey. I think it goes with the blue quite well.
One thing I'd like would be the ability to have to go back to the guy and buy untrimmed capes for, say, double the price, you know, of the 99K. Because, I don't know, I've always wanted a untrimmed, like, farming one back or something. So 198K instead of 99K. I'd pay that for an untrimmed farming cape. Why not? You have the ability, right? So it should be your choice what you use. That's good money sink, too, so... Maybe Jagex ought to think about implementing that. Thank you, Jay. Next one.
Next question. Dear Brad and Shane, there's no T in my name. What chores do you do at home? I mainly do dishes and mow the lawn with some misc ones here and there. Thanks, German Island. What chores do I do? Well, it really depends. I do a bit of everything from time to time, you know, dusting, hoovering, cooking, ironing, hoovering, Shane, ironing, washing, you know, doing the washing, putting it out of the line. I do a bit of everything.
That's good.
What do you do,
does
Shane? You do nothing.
Does your grandparents still come help you with the laundry?
Once a week, she comes down.
Oh, that's good.
That's the only time I do. Well, the only other time I see, you know, I don't see enough. I don't know what I'm saying. How about you, Shane? What do you do?
Oh, I do a bit. I, like you said, I do the vacuuming in half of the house. Someone else does the other half.
Who, your sister?
Well, no, sometimes it's not her, but sometimes I think it should be her.
Sometimes it's mummy, is it?
Yeah. I basically, aside from that, if there's something that's relating to, like, repair or something, I'll help with that sort of thing, too. Sometimes I'm on kitchen duty when everybody else is feeling lazy at night.
So that's nothing, basically.
Well, yeah, why? When I got three other able-bodied people here. You know? I don't know. It's just that nobody ever asked me to do anything. Like, I don't know. And there's really no need for me to do laundry like you do, you know, or ironing, because the only person who needs their shirts ironed is my dad, and, well, my mom does that for him.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, Shane, you're just making excuses for doing nothing.
I don't know, at least our grandparents don't come do our laundry for us.
Thanks for the question, German Island. Shane is lazy. Shane and Brad, what country other than your respective ones would you like to live in and why? That question is from Regnant.
You have to answer this first.
Okay, I'll answer first. Germany, because it's a nice country. I guess I'd say America as well, because, you know, biggest country in the world. Although, if I lived in America, I'd probably either want to live somewhere in the northeast, like Maine.
Oh, why not northwest?
No, I was going to say northwest. I thought, no, that's quite near Shane. Too near Shane for comfort. I'd like to live in sort of New England area.
You could go live in Vermont with Paul.
Upstate New York.
Okay. But then if there's ever an invasion from, like, England or something, you're screwed.
Yeah, but there isn't going to be.
Okay, any other countries?
Let me think. Germany, America, no. maybe somewhere in Scandinavia, Switzerland, Finland, Norway.
Okay.
No, sorry, not Switzerland. Switzerland isn't in Scandinavia. Sweden, I meant. Sweden, Finland, Norway.
So you can perfect the Swedish accent?
Yeah, so I can't. I'd have to live in Sweden for like 20 years.
What about Russia?
No, I never really like the idea of Russia as a country, no, as a living place. No.
Japan?
No.
Okay. For me, going in order, heading east, Switzerland, Germany, Australia, New Zealand,
Yeah, it's United Kingdom, Shane.
No.
Why not?
You. You. The attitude, you know?
Yes. Not every British person is like me. Don't tar them all with my brush.
Okay, find me one who isn't then. If you're English and you're not like Brad, send me a message. If you're English and you're a supporter of seeing the bigger picture, send me a message.
Basic Shane has a very low tolerance for anybody who doesn't believe what he believes.
No!
Yeah,
if I had
true,
a low tolerance for people that didn't believe what I didn't believe, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah, no, that would be if you were an asshole. You just have a low tolerance for people who believe what you don't believe.
Oh, you're funny. That was from Regnanth. So you wouldn't want to live, like, on the moon or anything? Or Mars?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't want to... No.
You know, another place I think would be interesting would be Dubai.
Possibly. Never really liked the Middle East. I did in the Middle East.
Yeah, the Middle East has the whole kind of security factor, even though Dubai is a stable country. You never know, though.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know. Anyways, interesting question. Maybe one day we'll go there or something, you know? I don't know. I was thinking the other day, wouldn't it be just interesting to go take a year and live, work in another country like that?
Yes, possibly. But...
on an exchange program or something? I don't know. You could come live here for a year and try it out.
No thanks, Shane. On to the next question.
Why not?
Because I don't like Canada. It's too close to you.
That was from Regnant. How often do you hang out with your friends and what do you do? That's from Marco.
How often? Well, it depends. Day to day, it can be, you know, 3 days a week, sometimes four, sometimes five.
Okay.
And what are we, oh, it's difficult. Hanging out itself is an activity. Doing occasionally we go bowling, which I suck at. I went bowling with my friends last Friday. I scored 136. And that was actually last place. Me and four friends, four of them scored.
You should be saving this for after.
No, I shouldn't. But anyway, that was about what I did with my friends. Just stuff like that, really. I mean, it's... I don't think, you know, you don't always...
You know, that's something sort of that kind of changes as you get older, you know? It's not the same kind of thing going to school and you say every Friday you go or do something with them, you know? It kind of changes
sometimes
as you get older.
Sometimes you do just hang out.
Yeah, so, I don't know, it sort of changes maybe. I don't know, I'd wager two maybe every 2 weeks, every other week or something.
Mm.
Games or something like that, you know? I don't know. It's just, I don't find much joy in going out and doing stuff.
Shane's not a massively social person.
No, it's just that I prefer to have my inner circle, you know?
Also, yeah, your online circle, you mean. Also, what is your biggest tech-related pet peeve?
Oh.
Apple, full stop.
Okay, why?
Because I said so.
Why? Why? Why?
Because I don't like Steve Jobs and I don't like Apple.
But you owned a Mac.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
My biggest pet peeve would probably have to be the fact of general misinformation between people, you know? Like, for instance, when people assume that an Excel spreadsheet is something like a database, or that HTML is a programming language, those things really tick me off. Other kind of things that tick me off related to tech is operating systems. Like, nobody can seem to get it right, you know? Like Linux is a house of cards. Yeah. Windows has the program compatibility that's to be desired, but the underpinnings are 20 years old and not exactly the best way to do things. Mac OS has the strong underpinnings and the good UI, but every third-party piece of software, particularly Flash and Java, runs horribly, so there has to be some sort of middle ground operating system that has a good underpinning, looks decent, and that's like, I basically am saying, combine the stability of Linux without it becoming a house of cards, aesthetics of macOS, and the program compatibility of Windows. Combine those three and you got the best operating system ever, but that's hard to do.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your biggest tech pet peeve besides
I
Apple?
I told you.
Come on, you have to have something besides Apple.
I don't really have a tech pet peeve. I'm not that sad.
Oh, okay.
No, I honestly can't think of anything.
Okay. Next one.
Next question. What are your thoughts on vaccinations, specifically things like flu shots and more controversial shots like H1N1, HPV, and meningitis. I have no real opinion on them. I mean, if somebody's offering you a vaccination for a deadly disease, you know, you're pretty stupid if you say, no, I don't want that. Unless it's proven it's dangerous, but a proven dangerous jab would never be put out there for the public to use. There was some controversy in this country over the MMR vaccine. I'm not sure if you have that over there.
Yeah. Mumps, measles, rubella.
Yeah, there was supposedly a link with it to autism. But I believe the doctor who published those findings was largely discredited. I think it's a good thing for the most part. But as for the sort of the H1N1 vaccine, I don't know. I think you can actually, there are some places here that are actually offering, you can pay to have it done. I think I actually saw, I was in the supermarket a couple of weeks ago, and I saw, and they had a sign up saying one day they were having like an open clinic in the supermarket, you could have a flu vaccine. Which is obviously trying to encapsulate the H1N1 panic, but I think for most of them, when they're sort of proven diseases, they're not rookie diseases. Proven diseases, it's certainly a good thing.
Okay, are you getting the H1N1?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay, yeah, well then I probably won't either then, because it's funny because remember we were discussing my little theory on that.
What was your theory?
That you can't really trust a private manufacturer to manufacture these things, you know?
Mm.
Because you're dealing with the potential of kind of some quality slip-up somewhere, or even worse, some kind of intentional tampering
There's so many guidelines and regulations.
Yeah, but you never know.
And checks and double checks. I think it's highly unlikely.
You never know.
If you were to refuse something, you know, sort of purely on the point that, you know, there may have been a slip-up somewhere along the line. It's fairly stupid.
I don't know. HPV, that's an entirely different story. I don't think that should be being offered because basically an encouragement to get vaccinated and do you know what? That's the way I see it.
Oh, yeah, Shane with his Christian beliefs.
So I just think that that's a kind of a whole can of worms in itself that shouldn't be really, like, why?
I believe we had this debate, and although the risk of because HPV protects against cervical cancer, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a license to sleep around. You know, it can be caused by other things than just that. So I don't think having that.
Yeah, but it encourages it.
No, it's not an encouragement or an endorsement, because other things other than sleeping around can cause it.
No,
so
you're
saying we shouldn't offer people that vaccination because, well, there's no logical reason, really. Because you're saying so they won't sleep around or it won't make it seem like it's okay, but that is only one of the potential causes of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, but that's the biggest cause that's highlighted in the media, you know?
Yes, but there can be other causes.
I know, but this could cause more problems down the line. That's why I don't think it's a good idea.
Oh, for God's sake. That's the rubbish you keep going. Oh, problems down the line, problems down the line. You're full of crap, Shane. Really, you are. Just stop and listen to yourself.
No, if I had a teenage girl, she wouldn't be getting
cervical cancer. People could be, you know, they could have been celibate all their lives and they could get cervical cancer because they weren't allowed the jab because cervical cancer is more common in women who sleep around.
I know, but I'm just saying if I had a kid who was of that age, she wouldn't be getting that. And
complete rubbish.
I think that the H1N1 is overhyped in the media, you know, because the fact that's overlooked is that the regular flu kills over 200,000 people a year. And how many has this killed so far?
Who cares, Shane?
That's my reasoning on those two. And meningitis, I'm not sure what's with meningitis. Is that, like, dangerous, or?
I believe it affects very young children.
Okay.
I believe it can potentially disable.
Oh.
Meningitis is an inflammation of the protective membranes covering the brain and spinal cord. Inflammation, the most common.
Well, what's wrong with the vaccine?
I don't believe there's anything wrong with the vaccine. I think we're just asking a general.
Oh, okay.
I believe they believed for a time that I had meningitis when I was extremely young because I had a high fever, but it turns out I didn't. Good job, really, because it can do some nasty things to you.
Yeah, you know, it's like these kind of experimental ones for these outbreaks, I'm not too sure of, but when you compare it to, like, the ones that every kid should get, like, to eliminate all those kind of diseases like smallpox and those kind of things, I think those ones are certainly fine, but these other ones you kind of have to kind of evaluate on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, on to the next question.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Chief. Touchane, when you bring your blog back, we're looking through some older posts, and I think they're interesting. You think wrong, my friend. That question is from Paracrazy. So, Touchane, when you bring your blog back?
It won't be back as like, a blog. I really don't like that kind of format anymore for doing that kind of thing, because...
You're happy with RuneWire, are you?
Yeah, I'm happy with RuneWire for my RuneScape stuff. And whenever I have a tech issue that's bugging me, I find a way to roll it into an Informer article, as I did last month, which I like. So, yeah, tech stuff will probably be on there. RuneWire for RuneScape stuff. The only thing I can see maybe using some sort of blog for is like a Tumblr blog or something, you know, where you just basically dump pictures and stuff you see.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to kind of do is aggregate all the feeds I have, like my RuneWire forum postings, RuneScape high scores, Dig, my current nation state status.
Bring so all the in. Shane you want in one place.
Yeah, basically then I can say go to this website or whatever at the end of the show and find it, everything there. So I'll probably get onto that around end of November or so.
Send us in your audio questions. For God's sake, people, audio questions. We want audio questions.
Questions at rsbnb.com. And if you speak a language other than English, try your best at English. Because we really can't do anything. The only languages we can sort of probably decipher would be French, and yeah, that's probably about it. And German. Right, Brad?
Yeah.
Okay, speak some German or something.
Nein.
Read this next headline in German.
I don't know. Shane, I can't be bothered.
Oh, that's too bad.
Dienstag. October, exactly the same in German. 2009.
Meaning?
Tuesday, the October 2000.
Okie dokie. Microsoft's patch Tuesday for Windows XP Vista 7 has released 13 critical security updates, so it's important that you run your Windows update right away. Of these security updates, 8 are related critical and 5 are related as important, and you will need a restart for this. So it would be a good idea for you to do this, because they allow remote code executions, which in turn means that somebody who is not at your computer could set up a malicious website and get control of your computer if you're one of the people that uses Internet Explorer. And those pop up really quickly once the patches have been reverse engineered to just know exactly what to attack. So please update your Windows, because it's sort of like vaccinations, you know. If everybody updates their Windows, then we eradicate these problems.
Yeah.
So it's a good analogy to think of it as. So run Windows Update, people. Run Windows Update. And another little bug this week, Snow Leopard bug. Did you hear about this one?
No, I didn't.
Basically, it's a bug that if you have the guest account enabled on Snow Leopard, you log in with a guest account, log out, and then log back into your regular account. It can cause the loss of your entire home folder for your users, so meaning documents, downloads, pictures, music, and everything else that's in your home folder could disappear. Apple says they're aware of the issue and they're working on a fix. See, this is sort of the thing I was referring to earlier. Like, this is kind of an extreme case where the equivalent of death would be involved, and it's good for them to say something. But for any other kind of security update, it would instill consumer confidence if they didn't say anything.
False confidence, Shane.
Anyways, yes. That's it. We're going to move on to some other things, and I'm going to get Brad hopping now. You got a pick for us?
I have a pick. It's a book, which you won't be able to get in the States, but you will if you live in this country. It's called 50 People Who Buggered Up Britain. It's quite a good read. It's actually serious, even though...
is that the title, Buggered Up?
Yes, 50 People Who Buggered Up Britain.
Okay, are you in there?
No, Shane, I'm not in there. You said that before the show. interesting to note that every Prime Minister... let me think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 of the last 8 Prime Ministers are in there. Just a lot of people, the majority of the British public will know. I could read a lot of names you probably wouldn't know. Jeffrey Archer, know who he is?
No.
Kenneth Baker, know who he is?
Vaguely.
Ed Balls?
No.
He's a government minister right now. Peter Bazalgette, Richard Beeching, John Burt, Frank Blackmore, Tony Blair, David Blunkett, Royds Boyson, Gordon Brown, Richard Brunstone, Paul Burrell, James Callaghan, Alistair Campbell, Anthony Crosland, Richard Dawkins, Princess Diana.
What?
Yep, she's in here. It basically has a list of people alphabetical order by last name. And then it says, in this person's opinion, why they ruined Britain or buggered up Britain. I'll find.
Okay, why'd Thatcher bugger up Britain then?
Okay, I'll find Thatcher. Thatcher, page 231. it's right. There's quite a lengthy write-up on some people. This guy has a lot of issues. 231. Margaret Thatcher. Many of Margaret Thatcher's political decisions improved our country. She revived the acumen of our business tycoon. She prevented the Falkland Islands falling into the hands of a murderous junta and reminded us what it was to be British. She took a painful but wise decision to weaken the unions. Basically, it's stuff about the trade unions, which is one of Margaret Thatcher's. Yeah, but it's an interesting book if you're interested in Britain.
Oh, so they're calling the weakening of union something that buggered Britain up?
No, Britain tried to... Well, basically, it is also claimed that Thatcher's government sought off the unions. This is not true. The trade unions have since crept back to prominence. Fighting trade unions is like trying to kill stinging nettles. You think you have won, but once your back is turned, they return with smaller, sharper stings, subtler but no less unpleasant. It's an interesting book.
Okay.
If you're in Britain.
You could probably find it on Amazon.co.uk, I'd imagine. If you can, get me a link for Amazon.co.uk. I know that co.uk ships to the US and Canada.
Yeah.
They do, because my mom's ordered something from there before. A book, actually.
No way.
Seriously.
Was it 50 People Who Buggered Up Britain?
No.
Was it 50 People Who Buggered Up Canada?
No.
Stephen Harper's number one in that.
No. Number one in that would have to be Pierre Trudeau. But anyways, thank you for your pick, Mr. Woodward. Link will be in the show notes. You can head over to informer.rsbnb.com and find Marco's first economy article.
Woo! Economy.
Yeah. So he's our economy writer, and Chris T, or X-Turt, is our PvP writer. His article will be out in 2 weeks from today, so we'll mention that as well, I think, in time for Halloween.
Yep.
Speaking of which, we got something Halloween-based, don't we?
Yes, we have a competition, so you can be on the show.
Explain.
Yay, show. Basically, I believe we did the exact same competition last year, didn't we?
No, it was an actual RSBNB event.
Okay, it was an actual RSBNB event, but this time we're turning into a contest for the show. Basically, what you need to do is you need to log on to RuneScape. You need to come up with some sort of good Halloween character. Character Halloween costume for your character. Try and do something original. Don't just stick the pumpkin head on, for God's sake. That's not funny or good. If I think anybody who uses the pumpkin head will automatically be disqualified.
Unless it's used in a way other than just putting it on and using that as the costume.
There's no other way to bloody use it.
Well, no, I mean, use the...
Yeah, if you combine it with...
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But yeah, so basically, you can log on to RuneScape, come up with a good Halloween costume, take a picture, send it in, you might get to be on the show.
And you can send that in by PMing it to either of us on the forums at forums.rsbnb.com.
Yeah.
And by the way, Marco's article is called Planning for Projects.
Planning for Projects.
That's right.
Skill of the Month update.
Yes. What have you got? Nothing, really. Well,
yeah,
sort of.
Scythrend, I know, has been sort of maybe slightly creeped into the race. He's been sniffing. Sorry about that. He's been smithing Rune 200s.
He's fourth.
Although I did ask him if he was, you know, going to enter the race, he said no. Currently, it stands X-Blade is still winning, even though he hasn't gained experience since the third. He's first with 2.5 million. CR Wire is second with 1.6. Danger Geo third with 1.226. Fourth Southrend with 1.2. Then it goes all the way down to 271,000.
Oh, this skill of the month is...
Yeah, we were talking about this in clan chat with some people, and I was saying it's bound to be sort of like this for a skill like smithing, which is very expensive to train. Nobody here is rich enough or crazy enough to just plow, you know, 200-300 million into power training and getting loads and loads and loads of experience.
Yeah. Okay, so rather boring. Not next week. 2 weeks from now, you should be able to see what the next November skill of the month is, which should be interesting. And remember, everybody, even if you signed up, compete, even if you don't win. Because at the end of the year, we take all the experience gained by everyone, and whoever gets the most experience over all the skill of the months over the entire year wins something called skill of the year.
Scotty.
Yes, that's right. And we got a little video on the YouTube channel called Boss Takedown Compilation. A bunch of Boss Takedown videos ranging from, I believe, Armadil, Sarah Doman, Zamorak, and Bandos, definitely. So take a look at youtube.com/rsbnbstaff. That video, yay, of course, is by Chiefsake.
Yay.
So what you been doing besides bowling?
Nothing.
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 Come on.
Nothing.
You have to have something you want to share with us. Some sort of story or something.
What else did I... Let's see. Any stories this week? No, today has been a fairly boring week. This week, not just today. This week has been a fairly average week.
How's your knee?
Yeah, it's a lot better.
Oh, that's good. Listen to the show from 2 weeks ago to know what we're talking about. Okay. You haven't had any more train stories or anything?
No, I've not been on the train.
You've not walked into any walls?
No, I've not walked into any walls.
Okie dokie, then. What about RuneScape?
I've not been on RuneScape as much this week as I was the week before. I've been trying to kill blue dragons to get... I need 1,126 dragon bones for prayer to get from 64 to 70 using the grinder and worshipping the Ectofunctus or whatever.
Why aren't you using an altar?
Because they don't give as much experience and I'd need more bones.
The altar gives more experience, like the gilded altar gives more experience than the Ecto.
Yeah, with two burners lit.
Yeah.
Does it? I'm sure it gave less.
I thought it gave more.
I'm looking this up.
Okay.
Gilded altar. Gilded altar with two burners. 356 prayer experience. No, 350% prayer experience when both burners are lit. Ectofunctus gives. Ectofunctus gives. Why isn't it telling me? Ectofunctus.
Let's see what I can pull up here.
Why isn't it receive prayer, please?
Let's see, prayer.
It's not telling me exactly how much.
Okay, yeah, you're right. The Gilded Altar gives 252 for a dragon bone. The Ectofunctus gives 288.
Woo!
But the altar is easier.
You know what that is, Shane? That's seeing the bigger picture.
No, it's not. Not in the same way I do. Anyways.
Same way I do.
As for me, I've been working on agility, done the quest, and a little bit of farming here and there. As for real life, I've been ramping up for another midterm while doing an assignment in between. So it's safe to say that after this show is done, I'm going to go try do some reading. And then this weekend, I'm going to try and go through condensed form of notes and try and cover as much as I can, seeing that this course has two textbooks, which are rather large.
Ah, poor Shane.
Yeah, see, the reason the course has two textbooks is because one textbook is used for the theoretical example, you know? The other textbook is used for the practical example. The one that gave the practical example is the excerpt I quoted you yesterday with the...
Yeah, Russian prostitutes.
Yeah. Should we read that out?
Yeah, do it if you want.
Okay, let me pull it up here. Give me a minute.
And Chade's school books contains a lot about Russian prostitutes.
Okay. This is an excerpt from a book named The Elusive Quest... The Elusive Quest for Growth by William Easterly. As I sat sweating in a tiny interiorist hotel room with sealed windows with air conditioning that had broken down under Khrushchev and hadn't been fixed yet, with less than irresistible prostitutes trying to break down my door. Hello, I'm Natasha. I'm very lonely. I wonder how the Soviets managed to fool us for so long. See, this book, I like this book because it actually goes into the actual kind of examples of what's happening rather than just looking at rosy theoretical models. And it basically, this book is an advocate of kind of the opposite of what the textbook implies, which is more of my kind of style. So, in terms of my view on development, economics, and that subject. So, I find the other book more interesting to read, but... It's a good book if you're interested in economics. It was less than $50 compared to other textbooks. So,
That's all then. That's all.
Yeah, that's it for RSBNB Update 226 with Evelyn at runewire.com/Brad.
Evelyn
and Shane. We'll see you guys all next week. Goodbye, everyone.